So, do you have any questions pertaining to what I covered on Tuesday? You may ask now. Pertaining to what was covered on Tuesday.
Hi, Karen Boucher. After the lesson, just one thought, which led to another thought. So the first thought is, time. Why does it take three great countless eons to be a Buddha? What's the reasoning behind that?
What is it?
What is the reasoning behind taking three great countless eons to achieve enlightenment?
Why it takes so long?
Yeah, why so long, yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, why so long?
Huh?
Yes, why so long?
It's not long at all.
Is there a logical reason behind that?
It's not long at all.
The logical reason is walk harder. If you walk harder, it's faster.
So no reason then. Okay, then, so this long time, right, led to the second question, right? So, human beings didn't always exist. So, if a bodhisattva on the path of accumulation is going on a path of preparation and humans don't exist anymore, then what happens to this bodhisattva?
Bodhisattva doesn't exist after that.
Really?
You saying that?
No. Because it takes such a long time, right,
yeah,
to learn,
so between
right?
That, they'll disappear. You saying that? Or?
So if midway, let's say human species don't exist anymore, so what happens to this Buddhist?
Disappear.
So you just disappear.
Without, we talk about tenure, without remaining, what, nirvana, without remainder, you think about that?
No, before humans, there were dinosaurs, right? So after human, there could be something else. Like, you know, do dinosaurs become, you know...
There were cockroaches also. Yeah, one of the oldest things around.
Yeah, that was the question, yeah.
Bodhisattva cockroach.
No answer, then I will just sit down.
You know, the tourists who go to Mount Everest, to climb the Mount Everest, it takes 3 months. Yeah? So you may ask why 3 months it takes to reach top of the mountain. It takes 3 months to reach top of the Everest. Yeah. So something like that, your question is, first one is something like that. So there will be a lot of reason, yeah, why it takes 3 months to climb Mount Everest. Yeah. So similar to that, so to get enlightened, take three great countless of years. Yeah. So you have all the merit, like you can get helicopter and go one hour, you can reach top of the Mount Everest. Yeah? Okay? So like that. Also Buddhists also have. You go to Tantra, then you don't need to take three countless years. Take a helicopter, drop there.
Taking three great countless eons in order to finish the accumulations of the collections you take three great collections to finish the accumulation of the two collections in order to achieve enlightenment is according to the sutra, according to sutra. So what it means is that in order to really eradicate and to abandon completely the afflictive obscurations and the knowledge obscurations, or in another way of saying is in order to abandon, to destroy the seeds of the afflictions together with their imprint, we need to, work very hard to accumulate the collections, yeah, the two collections.
What did they do? I mean,
Let's say, your second question was about, this world going out of existence, isn't it? And then what happens, on your way to enlightenment and you're, accumulating the collections, and then if the world disappears or disintegrates, and then, what happens, isn't it? There are numberless world systems, yeah. Earth is not just the only planet. Yeah. In fact, there are billions of universes. Yeah.
Okay, so don't worry. Then I said, "Once I am come soon, then you soon go to talk. So come soon, I come soon, then soon be here." Right? So that yeah, here. So come soon, then they will come.
The realm of existence consists of the desire realm, the form and the formless realms. Yeah, sentient beings sentient beings can be born into the form and formless realms, besides you know, the desire realm which we are in. So it is mentioned in the teachings that when this world of ours disintegrates, when the sentient beings of the world can be reborn into the form and formless realms, and when the world in a particular world system is formed or is created again, then those sentient beings in the upper realms will be reborn or can be reborn into that particular world again. So basically the world systems such as ours comes and go, I mean when they go they don't it's not as if another world system will not come about, so basically they just come and go, it is destroyed and comes back again. When it comes back again, and the sentient beings in the upper realms can be reborn into the desire realm, and when the world system goes out of existence, the sentient beings in the particular world system can be reborn in the form or in the formless realms.
Okay. Clear?
So if you were to refer to the chart again, so there are the five minor paths. The five minor paths can be basically divided into the paths of an ordinary being and the paths of a superior or an arya. Okay, so there are the paths the path of an ordinary being and the path of a superior or an arya. So the path of an ordinary ordinary Mahayana being consists of the Mahayana path of accumulation and the Mahayana path of preparation. The path of the Mahayana superior consists of three. The Mahayana path of seeing, the Mahayana path of meditation, and the Mahayana path of no more learning. Okay, so if we say the path of the Mahayana superior, then there are three paths. the Mahayana path of seeing, the Mahayana path of meditation, and the Mahayana path of no more learning. But if you talk about the path of the Bodhisattva superior, then there are only two, the Mahayana path of seeing and the Mahayana path of meditation. Yeah. So there are two paths of the Mahayana ordinary beings. They are the Mahayana path of accumulation and the Mahayana path of preparation. Then the path of the Mahayanas, the path of the Bodhisattva superiors or the Bodhisattva Aryas or Arya Bodhisattvas consists of the Mahayana path of seeing and the Mahayana path of meditation. But if you talk about the Mahayana path, the path of the Mahayana superior, then you have the Mahayana path of Mahayana path of seeing, the Mahayana path of meditation, and the Mahayana path of no more learning, isn't it? Yeah. So there's a difference between a Mahayana superior and a Bodhisattva superior. Also,
yeah.
So, do you notice that these five paths in the context of the Mahayana are called the five Mahayana paths? They are not called the five paths of the Bodhisattvas, yeah? Isn't it? So the path of the Mahayana superior consists of the paths of the Mahayana path of seeing, the Mahayana path of meditation, and the Mahayana path of no more learning. So the path of accumulation is divided into three. The small path of accumulation, the medium path of accumulation, and the great path of accumulation. When an individual achieves the Mahayana path, when an individual achieves the Mahayana small path of accumulation, that individual becomes a Bodhisattva. Yeah. So simultaneous with the realization of bodhicitta, or the effortless bodhicitta, simultaneous with that, that being, individual enters the Mahayana path, and he enters the Mahayana path from the Mahayana small path of accumulation. That individual becomes a bodhisattva, and the individual becomes a Mahayanist. So if you were to ask, you know, if the Bodhisattvas at this juncture, at this point, do they necessarily have realized emptiness or not? Then the answer is no. Yeah, the Bodhisattvas those who become Bodhisattvas know when they enter in the minor paths, yeah, the minor path from this minor small path of accumulation, There could be bodhisattvas who have really realized emptiness, but there could be bodhisattvas who have not, realized emptiness yet. Yeah. So based on this, so you could say in general that there are bodhisattvas who have not realized emptiness.
What in the shah? Dinema, anisi, solam dingi, solam dingi negabla. Da, kazan shiva na shi, solam ding tobi no gala, da simge di tembo shu shah rashi. Rangi, kan simge di, simbo, simge di tembo chashi. Da nami, tanya yun, sir tabu, simge di, tanya tae. Da dine sungi, da nyame mene shi. Rwa, oti sungu yore, cheza da, solam ding tobi sato simge zawa nina nyame.
When the bodhisattva reaches the Mahayana medium path of accumulation, that bodhisattva's mind generation, whatever mind generation he has achieved, becomes very stable and will never degenerate. And hence, from that point, that time onward, it is not possible for that bodhisattva to fall into the Hinayana.
Oh, today is that today soon, today soon, no, no, from Chungo Negasu, Nyamba Yashi. Raw Chanju Sim, that German man, but yes, that one and that Gundi Mangat in Marshe Tinja Chinsu Yonsamba. Any last song. Ani simke sim kalleshi jab chomangbo saane da kalleshi jab chacha chanchu simke bara jine chom chungo saedi cha bara tapo jimo kansa cha bara tando yang ani ko sabso machina nyameshi.
So before a bodhisattva becomes a bodhisattva, you know, anybody who will become a bodhisattva has to work very hard in accumulating merit, yeah. And you know, training the mind, you know, in generating bodhicitta, based on an instruction such as the sevenfold cause and effect personal instructions, yeah. Starting from recognizing all sentient beings as the mother, as having been one's mother, remembering their kindness, generating the wish to repay their kindness, then generating a love that considers all sentient beings to be beloved, you know, to be attractive, to be very precious. And on the basis of that, then one generates great compassion. Then, on the basis of that, then one generates wholehearted resolve. And only on the basis of that, then one generates the mind of enlightenment, yeah. Bodhicitta. Yeah. So through a lot of hard work and perseverance, when that individual, depending on an instruction such as the sevenfold cause and effect instruction, when the individual generates, you know, the actual realization of bodhicitta through these steps, you know, an actual effortless, uncontrived realization, and then, only then, you know, does this person enter the minor path of accumulation. And only then he becomes a bodhisattva and he becomes a Mahayanist. But even then, this bodhisattva on the minor small path of accumulation can fall down, can fall backwards in terms of realization, yeah, in that his bodhicitta could degenerate if he was not careful. It is plausible that such a bodhisattvas could also fall into the lower realms, even, you know, even though they have bodhicitta at this point in time.
Oh, 대 섬을 땅도 걸어 땅 맞지 녀선도 뚱해라 다 더버 매가래 너와 뚱 맞은 거 더버 매가래 어쨌든
So you know if you think about you know if you think about this you know then it becomes very clear that for us you know there's no doubt you know that you know that you know falling into the lower realms you know in our next lives you know it's almost a certainty you know so if you think about it carefully you know
독신이 다 다가서래 어떻게 다 이제 이네마다 소름 침보세 다가 넘어서 소름 딩법에 비 시디 디시 잡사래 와 다 다 소름 딩
So, you know, in terms of the milestones, yeah, we have I've already finished explaining A, B, and C, isn't it? So, so what I've just said, you know, is basically a repeat of what I've already mentioned on Tuesday. So let's move on to the. Mayana great path of accumulation.
어떻게 다 드네마 다 처럼 침보세디 다 처럼 침보세디 다 디냐가라 다 보기는 쉬워나 싫었다 양지 연대 신담이로 시터베 다 주주 땡이즈 도그레스 어떻게 하는 소마 로와다
So one of the qualities that the bodhisattva one of the qualities that the bodhisattva will gain upon actualizing the Mayana great path of accumulation is this a special kind of concentration of meditative stabilization called the meditative stabilization of the stream of doctrine or the stream of Dharma. Yeah, it's in the notes anyway, right? So it is said that when the Bodhisattva achieve the meditative stabilization of the stream of Dharma or doctrine, the coarse obscurations that hinder, you know, the hearing of the teachings are purified. You know, those very coarse obscurations that you know that obstruct our hearing the teachings, such as not feeling, basically like starting from not. You know, really wanting to hear the teachings in the first place, you know, that kind of feeling. You know, it's like, aiyah.
What does it mean? That thing is tempo shoes top share. That's the mamma would need to be. That's the one. Shoes need to be. And it's like that. Tana Sanji Kunda in Shella. That's it. In a soon church. And it's like Ramba Chunya. Or today, and you might sing something.
So the bodhisattvas who achieve this meditative stabilization of the stream of doctrine are able to listen to many, many, many teachings. They have this ability. And it is said that they can even receive teachings from representations of the Buddhas, such as statues and so forth. What is
this?
And the Bodhisattva who has achieved this meditative stabilization of the stream of doctrine are able to remember every single word and meaning of the Buddha's teachings that they hear.
How wonderful. For us, we hear yesterday, we forgot today.
Achieving this meditative stabilization of the stream of doctrine is no easy feat. Yeah. Many prerequisites apply. Yeah. Of course, the person must be of the Mahayana lineage. The person must have accumulated a huge collection of merit. The person abides in pure ethics, pure morality, and has engaged in extensive listening, hearing of the Buddha's teachings. Yeah.
Not in this motto. In this name, that you can see in Tobet. That did to that, and that chimbo said the team, but it doesn't look in that tin ever so bad. That in the cabbage to the team, but it that you think is in Tobet.
So this is the meditative stabilization of the stream of doctrine, which is a special quality that the bodhisattvas achieve. On the Mahayana great path of accumulation. So the path of accumulation is the time when the Mahayana path of accumulation is the time when the bodhisattvas, you know, are accumulating the collections. And the primary way that the bodhisattvas accumulate the collections while on the Mahayana path of accumulation, it is through extensive hearing and reflection. The bodhisattvas on the path of accumulation, after they have achieved the Mahayana great path of accumulation, from there they move on. To move on to the Mahayana path of preparation. And the Mahayana path of preparation is divided into four stages: heat, peak, forbearance, and supramundane qualities. Supreme mundane or worldly qualities. Yeah. So the bodhisattvas on the Mahayana path of preparation are primarily focused on meditation. So they achieve is the wisdom arisen from meditation. So, you know, the meditation that is, meditation is the meditation from the threefold activity of hearing, reflection and meditation, yeah. So the meditation is their main activity. But they do, it's not that they do not engage in hearing and reflection at this juncture. They do, it's possible, but the primary activity is the meditation. The meditation that is from the threefold activity of reflection. The usual three things: hearing, reflection, and meditation. Yeah, that one.
What did you say? Then I'm at the table two six. Da, Carlsona. That then da, that two six. Jun Zhe Ti, but Ben, that Carlsona, Ben. Ah.
The path, the Mayana path of preparation is divided into four stages, isn't it? And the first stage is called the heat, yeah. The heat stage of the Mayana path of preparation. Why is it called, why is it given such a name, heat? Just, you know, imagine if you are trying to start a fire, you know, and you know, I mean, in the good old days, and not with the gas cooker, of course, the fire starts immediately. But then if you're trying to start a fire, you know, using, I don't know, fire starters and charcoal, whatever, anyway. Before you see the actual fire, you start to feel heat first, and the heat comes first before the fire, right? So, you know, when you sense the presence of heat, then that is like a sign that the fire is about to start, isn't it, right? So likewise, the heat stage on the path of preparation is like a sign that one will perceive emptiness directly soon. That means it's a sign that, you know, that the minor path of seeing is going to come. So, at the point of achieving the heat stage of the minor path of preparation, one achieves a special concentration, which is the union of calm abiding and special insight, focusing or observing emptiness, the ultimate nature of reality. Yeah, so that is indicated by D in the chart. So, the achieving the special concentration, which is a union of calm abiding and special insight, observing emptiness, is simultaneous with achieving the heat stage of the minor path of preparation. So, having said that, before one can achieve this special concentration, which is a union of calm abiding and special insight focusing on emptiness, One must first achieve a calm abiding or meditative serenity or calm abiding, focusing on emptiness. So before you can achieve a concentration, which is a union of calm abiding and special insight focusing on emptiness, you first must achieve calm abiding, focusing on emptiness first. And of course, that has to happen on the Mahayana great path of accumulation. So the bodhisattvas on the Mahayana great path of accumulation will achieve this calm abiding or meditative serenity, focusing on emptiness. So based on that, you could say that the bodhisattvas on the Mahayana great path of accumulation have necessarily realized emptiness. Right? So the bodhisattvas on the Mahayana great path of accumulation have necessarily realized emptiness. Then as for the bodhisattvas on the Mahayana small path of accumulation, there are those who have realized emptiness, there are those who have not realized emptiness. But I do not know what to say about the bodhisattvas on the path, on the Mahayana medium path of accumulation. So the bodhisattvas who are on the Mahayana medium path of accumulation, do we say that they have necessarily realized emptiness or not? Something to think about, yeah. So the bodhisattvas come the time when a bodhisattva achieves this special concentration, which is a union of calm abiding and special insight focusing on emptiness, and then bodhisattva simultaneously achieves the heat stage of the minor path of preparation, isn't it? Right. Okay. So if you think about this special concentration, which is a union of calm abiding and special insight observing or focusing on emptiness, if you were to relate it back to the Lorik, the topic of mind and awarenesses, of the seven kinds, of the seven divisions of awarenesses, which of the seven is this? So this special concentration, which is the union of calm abiding, special insight focusing on emptiness, of these seven awarenesses, which is it? So those of you who wish to relate this back to the topic of mind awarenesses, then you could do it. And it's good that you could do this, yeah. Then the bodhisattva moves on to the peak stage of the Mahayana path of preparation. At this point in time, it is said that the roots of virtue, can never be severed. It means one's roots of virtue at this point in time can never be destroyed.
Right. lokpala sope, ta jeta choba de debe, ta tsemo rusta, tsemo ta usiresta, kalorda. Ta tine tsume meochi, ta tada usi, toba ta usi gawa, ta tine ma ta jeta tsume meochi, ta jeta tsume meochi, tsemo sakata. Tada usi wa, tsemo sakata, ta tine ma kime ro.
Rida ti kama ye.
So, when the roots of the virtue of the bodhisattvas on the peak stage of the minor path of preparation can never ever be severed henceforth. Yeah. But up to this point in time, just right before this stage, the roots of the virtue of that being can still be severed, isn't it? But you know, but at this point in the bodhisattva's career, at this point in time, that the bodhisattva has reached, you know, the end of the possibility, have reached the very end of the possibility of having his roots of virtue severed. Yeah, so he has reached the very end or the very peak, you know, of that. You know, so it is called the peak of the minor power of preparation. You understand? So the bodhisattvas who have achieved the peak stage of the minor path of preparation will never ever have their roots of virtue severed or destroyed by wrong views. And the bodhisattvas, such bodhisattvas will never ever be reborn in the lower realms. They will only get, they only have good rebirths. Of course, bodhisattvas at this point in time still take rebirth. They still take rebirth under the power of their own karma and afflictions. But having said that, the kind of rebirths that they get in samsara will only be good samsaric rebirths. No more lower realms for them. The next stage is the forbearance, the forbearance stage. Okay, anyway, the bodhisattvas on the forbearance stage of the minor path of preparation acquires this confidence, you know, that they will never be reborn in the lower realms. Although the bodhisattvas on the peak stage of the minor path of preparation already, you know, at that time, it is kind of guaranteed that they will not be reborn in the lower realms. But at the peak stage of the Mayana path of preparation, they have not achieved that, you know, that confidence, you know, right? The bodhisattvas on the forbearance stage, yeah, of the Mayana path of preparation, yeah, achieve this, you know, this confidence and this kind of, you know, it's a confidence, you know, that bo tai ji, sui sui. Having said this, you know, you wonder why F is placed, you know, with the forbearance stage and not in the peak stage, isn't it? F being, you know, no more reverse in the lower realms, isn't it? So the bodhisattvas on the forbearance stage on the minor path of preparation acquires this confidence, you know, they are, you know, sure. This is a confidence. It's kind of a guarantee, basically. You know, that it's not guaranteed from outside, but, you know, they know no way I will be reborn in the lower realms ever again, you know. So it's a confidence. But saying this, so this is the meaning, yeah. Because otherwise, if you just look at milestone F on its own, you may get the idea that, you know, oh, then the bodhisattvas, you know, prior to forbearance stage, you know, may be reborn in the lower realms, isn't it? Yeah, so it's not like that. So what F indicates is, it's not just no more rebirths in the lower realms. The bodhisattvas acquire this confidence that they will never be reborn in the lower realms. But if you think about it, most likely, bodhisattvas will have achieved the path of preparation, even starting from the heat stage. You know. I mean, if you think about it, you know, you could probably say that such bodhisattvas will never ever be reborn in the lower realms. So you know, you could say that as long as the bodhisattva is on the minor path of preparation, you could say that probably the bodhisattvas will never ever be reborn in the lower realms, yeah. So, for the bodhisattvas on the forbearance stage of the minor path of preparation, I mean, it's for sure they will not be born in the lower realms, isn't it? Then the bodhisattvas on the peak stage, it is for sure that they will not be born in the lower realms as well, because their roots of virtue can never be severed, isn't it? Which means, you know, they will only get good rebirths. Because you cannot destroy the roots of virtue. I mean, all you have is virtue, isn't it? I mean, virtue is so strong. I mean, you don't destroy it. I mean, you know. Then there are some texts that mention that the bodhisattvas who on the heat stage on the path of preparation will not fall into the lower realms. Yeah. So there are such texts. Yeah. If you look at milestone C, I mean, you know, a bodhisattva who has achieved the minor medium path of accumulation, you know, that bodhisattva will never...
미초에서 땅 많이 났다. 다 멤버랑도 동구마를 쓴 세부로 와. 다 멤버랑도 동구마, 녀석들 동구마를 쓴 안리안 가리죠.
이런 사람들이 감사해요. 오케이. 오케이. Then if somebody says, no, okay, the bodhisattva, you know, the bodhisattva on the medium, on the mind, what is it? The mind and medium path of, the mind and medium path of accumulation, the bodhisattva on the mind and medium path of accumulation will not fall into the Hinayana, isn't it? Right. Then you'll say yes, right? You have to say yes, right, obviously, right? Then the person asks you, then if that's the case, then they shouldn't be falling into the lower realms as well, yeah? Then what are you going to say? You give up bodhicitta, you don't follow the lower realms?
Your mother best.
No? So aren't there bodhisattvas on the minor medium path of accumulation who fall in the lower realms? Huh? Mm-hmm. So yes or no? So bodhisattvas become object of liberation also. So if the bodhisattvas on the minor medium path of accumulation will not fall into Hinayana, then why should they fall into the lower realms? Why? Then you could also say that once they have generated bodhicitta, then it's not. Then why should they fall in the lower realms? How is it possible to fall in the lower realms when you have bodhicitta? Bodhicitta, leh. What are you going to say? No, what are you going to say? I mean, it's a question. No? What are you going to say?
No, question for Hapsin.
Oh my God, car, no.
Otirisha, that cinema, Taganda, this summer, that cinema, and soba charo, soba.
Then the last stage of the minor path of preparation is the supreme mundane qualities. So why is this stage called the supreme mundane qualities or supreme dharma? Because it's the highest, it is of all the paths of an ordinary being. This is the highest one can achieve of all the paths of an ordinary being. So that's why it's called supreme. So what you find in the notes, no, pertaining to the what is abandoned, you know, on the minor path of preparation, right? You know, the different, the manifest forms of the different conceptions and so forth. This is written or more from the basis of, or from the perspective of the Swatantrika, the middleway autonomous, yeah. Because most of the time, the paths and grounds are presented according to the autonomous, yeah, in general study. But so you have to note, so whether everything in this section is in accord with the middleway consequence school's assertions or not is something that we have to think about, to look at.
So, to jamo soba chujok sisidu tanto sokya lam chagi yore ta tongba ni toba re tongba ni ngusung do to tuku yama tongba ni tunji na dene toba lo yinba jipa re rawa ina yang ta kunzo shiki nekab la zogo ta ta denzi ngunjo wa jinzo ma chungro ta yagi tabshe chigi yore tanda yin ta zolong to jamo soba se na rawa denzi ngunjo wa jinzo chungro ta yagi
So the heat peak, forbearance, and supreme mundane qualities are stages of the Mahayana path of preparations are essentially paths of an ordinary being. They're still paths of an ordinary being. The bodhisattvas on these stages, on the bodhisattva on the Mahayana path of preparation, have already realized emptiness, that is clear. But these bodhisattvas are not able to realize emptiness directly. Yeah, they realize emptiness, but they have not realized it directly. So, on the minor path of preparation, by going through the four stages in the minor path of preparation, what the bodhisattvas are trying to do, on the minor path of preparation, is to diminish, to weaken the manifest conceptions of true existence.
어떻게네? 다 검증 조로 치네. 다 조 검증 조로 치네. 다 이제 문제와 관련지. 봐.
So the bodhisattvas on the minor path of preparation, depend mainly on the wisdom arisen from meditation, in order to suppress the manifest conceptions of true existence.
What is it? That is a person up and the lam tro zemons dugala. That person got to me a number shabby neck of soul. That person what happened.
So the bodhisattvas on the heat and peak stages of the minor path of preparation, when they enter, so they've realized emptiness, although not directly. So while they're in meditative equipoise, focusing on emptiness, what appears to the perspective of this meditative equipoise is not the subsidence of dualistic appearances. So, which means that the bodhisattvas at this point, they do have dualistic appearances. And the bodhisattvas on these two stages they know that they have dualistic appearances. Basically the bodhisattvas on the heat stage and the peak stage of the Mahayana path of preparation, while they are in meditative equipoise, focusing on emptiness, in the meditative equipoise, there is still a dualistic appearance. Yeah, there is dualistic appearance, and these bodhisattvas are aware of the dualistic appearances.
What does it mean? That the name of Soba Dang and Chozo in Nakabla, that Nina Yare, Nina Yang, that Nina Karsoda, Nina Yordina, Nina Nubioma, Lodi Nina Nubio, Yomartin, Consorra, Nina Nuba Nashinash, Bombay Nibal Shadola, Nina Nabama, Nina Nuba Nashin Nina, Nina Yobot, Chancellor Yigi, Shibatomish, Nina Nabama, Nina Yoda, Nina Yobati, Chancellor Yigi, Nitokumaris, Ta, Namaleta, Ma, Testa, Taratashin.
But the bodhisattvas on the forbearance stage and the supreme mundane qualities and stage of the minor path of preparation, while they are in meditative equipoise focusing on emptiness, they have the appearance of the subsidence of dualistic appearances, but in reality, dualistic appearances have not subsided. So they get, but they do get this appearance as if dualistic appearances have subsided, you know. But in fact, there is still dualistic appearances, and the bodhisattvas are not aware of that. So if you compare their experiences with the experiences of the bodhisattvas on the heat and peak stage, yeah. Their experience, you know, is a little bit more, it's more star, more subtle, more deep.
What to say? That to die, that you not a ma, matas, do dash, that she dash, that you not a ma, ma, she dash, that then a church of Sudogan, you not know your mother, you not know nothing, she that don't you let Jesus never shall nothing, she that you not know nothing, she lost a charity, this one.
So, so basically, on the minor path of preparation, the manifest conceptions of true existence gradually diminishes as one moves through the minor path of preparation. Yeah, So then on the supreme mundane qualities stage of the minor path of preparation, you know, that when the bodhisattva on that stage is in meditative voice, focusing single pointedly on emptiness or the ultimate nature of reality, what appears to that bodhisattva, you know, seem to be the subsidence, you know, complete elimination of dualistic appearance. Yeah. This is what appears to the bodhisattva, as if, you know, there's no dualistic appearances, but in fact, there is still dualistic appearances, just that the bodhisattva is not really
aware.
So because, the bodhisattvas, If on this stage, the supreme mundane qualities and stage of the minor path of preparation, they have realized emptiness, but they have not realized emptiness directly yet. Yeah. So essentially, their realization, their mind that realized emptiness is a conceptual mind, isn't it? And if it is a conceptual mind realizing emptiness, the realization of emptiness is necessarily, you know, the realization is necessarily via a meaning generality or generic image or mental image of the object, in this case, emptiness. Yeah. So if the realization is via this meaning generality, there has to be dualistic appearance, isn't it? So although there is still dualistic appearance, but the bodhisattvas are not aware. You know? So what they experience is as if, you know, all dualistic appearances have subsided. You know? What they experience is as if, you know. So the mind has their minds have become has become really very subtle. Yeah, at this point.
Yeah. That
So the Bodhisattvas on the minor path of preparation, what they do is to gradually diminish the manifest conceptions of true existence. So they are suppressed. Yeah. So in short, the Bodhisattvas on the minor path of preparation, by depending primarily on the wisdom arisen from meditation, then they suppress these manifest conceptions of true existence. Yeah. Okay. Then, so in this mind, which realizes emptiness, it's a conceptual mind, isn't it? Yeah. But there will come a time when this conceptual consciousness realizing emptiness will transform into the entity of a direct perceiver. So come the time when the Bodhisattva generates this direct perceiver apprehending emptiness, then the Bodhisattva achieves the superior path, the path of a superior.
Oh, that too, anichi, that the lamden say the godi tine zuge gore, that ma to namji chue kunjo say the lamden say that, that bena karsala chue kunjo the lamden say the that topsa tine tobi gore.
So when the Bodhisattva first achieves this wisdom directly perceiving emptiness, that is the very time when true path comes into being. You know, when we talk about the three jewels, Buddha Dharma Sangha, the Buddha jewel, Dharma jewel, Sangha jewel, we talk about the Dharma jewel, isn't it? The Dharma jewel consists of the true path as well, isn't it? So the true path of the Dharma jewel. So this true path, this is when it starts. This is when it comes into being. At this point in time, when the Bodhisattva first generates the wisdom directly realizing emptiness. So, when the Bodhisattva first achieves, this mind, this wisdom directly perceiving emptiness, that wisdom directly perceiving emptiness becomes the actual refuge. That is the thing that actually protects an individual. Why is this true path in the mental continuum of this Bodhisattva superior? Why is this wisdom directly perceiving emptiness called the actual refuge? Why is it called the actual refuge? The actual thing, that protects any being. Because the root of all the problems and suffering, the root of all the undesirable things, the source, the mother of all the problems, is ignorance. And this ignorance is the conception of persons as inherently existent and the conception of phenomena as inherently existent. Right? It's this ignorance is the root of all the problems. And the only thing that can whack this ignorance and destroy this ignorance, the one and only thing powerful enough to counteract, you know, this ignorance is the wisdom directly perceiving emptiness. So, of course, come the time when any individual generates the wisdom directly perceiving emptiness, of course, that is the very start of, that's the very birth of the actual refuge in the mind, isn't it? So come the time when this wisdom directly perceiving emptiness is newly generated. That is the start of the true path. And that is the birth of the true path, and that is the birth of the Dharma jewel, which is the actual refuge. Yeah. So that is the time when one comes to possess, you know, in one's own mind, the actual refuge, which is the Dharma jewel. And such an individual who has actualized true path becomes a superior Sangha. And becomes, therefore, a Sangha jewel. So, when an individual realizes emptiness directly for the very first time, that wisdom becomes the actual refuge, becomes the Dharma jewel. And then, you know, then the individual, him or himself or herself, becomes the Sangha jewel. So one becomes a refuge for oneself, and one becomes a refuge for others as well. So that is the start. That is the start of becoming an actual refuge for oneself and an object of refuge for other sentient beings. Yeah. So it's only when the wisdom directly perceiving emptiness is generated, only then that one starts, you know, to be able to do something to actually save, you know, to actually, not just, you know, save in any normal way, but, you know, to actually become a source of refuge for oneself. And of course, when you yourself start to be your own savior, this is the time when it only starts. It doesn't start before that. Yeah? I mean, actual refuge. So, of course, then if you start becoming an actual savior of your own being, your own self, then you of course come to possess some ability and powers to actually be of some actual help, real refuge to others. Yeah. And of course, then you then become also an object of refuge for others. That's you. That's the start of you becoming an object of refuge for others, basically. So because if we are not able to save ourselves, then it is, you know, to be an, we cannot really actually be a savior of ourselves. It is quite difficult, really, to be an effective object of refuge for others, yeah. So the Bodhisattva at the time when the Bodhisattva newly realizes emptiness directly, he becomes a Mahayana superior, he becomes a Bodhisattva superior, he becomes a person of the path of, no, he becomes a person of the Mahayana path of seeing.
What is it? 어떻습니까? 가르스나다 통함 세드티리다 가르스 보겠다 땜보 무슨도 섭도 통해서 다 통함 세니 민탄이 두스다이 말에 팀원하다 무슨도 통투구여만 땜보 무슨 통하다 졸업을 시작하다 졸업 세디다 제 무슨 통해서도 다 졸업 시작 다 땜보 무슨 통해 누가 나다 민티산 땜보 무슨 통말 타봐야 통함 세 민타야 팀말에
Why is it called the path of seeing? Because the path of seeing is the very first time that an individual sees the truth directly for the first time. Prior to the path of seeing, prior to the achievement of the path of seeing, one will not be able to see the truth directly. So the path of preparation is called the path of preparation because it prepares an individual to see the truth directly. So, yeah. So, when one is prepared enough to the point when one sees the truth directly for the first time, then you achieve the path of seeing, where you are seeing the truth directly for the first time.
So when
an individual realizes emptiness directly for the first time, so while in meditating, he is focusing on emptiness, nothing appears except emptiness to the perspective of this mind. Nothing. There's no dualistic appearances at all. All dualistic appearances have subsided. Only the emptiness of inherent existence appears. Yeah. Okay. So. Right. So only the emptiness of inherent existence, the emptiness appears. Yeah. And there's no dualistic appearances, of course. There are no appearances of true existence, no appearances of inherent existence, of course. No way, right? So in the perspective of this wisdom directly perceiving emptiness, there's no appearance, no dualistic appearances. There's no appearances of true existence, no appearances of inherent existence, no appearances of conventionalities. Yeah. No appearances of conventional phenomena. Yeah, conventional phenomena. And according to the Prasangikas, the consequence of middle way school, this mind, this wisdom directly perceiving emptiness, is the real, the real and an unmistaken mind. If you want to talk about what really an unmistaken mind is, this is it. The real deal.
What to say that? Tilly shame that same day you don't want you Muslim to be lily shame, Lokonga, Tushere, or to say that you secure.
So, according to the middle way consequence schools, all the minds in the continuum of sentient beings, with the exception of the wisdom directly perceiving emptinesses, the directly perceiving emptiness, are mistaken consciousnesses. You got it? Okay? So according to the middle way consequence schools, all minds in the continuum of sentient beings, with the exception of the wisdom directly perceiving emptiness, are mistaken consciousnesses. Right? Why? Because all the minds in the continuum of sentient beings, with the exception of the wisdom directly perceiving emptiness, are necessarily pervaded by the appearance of true existence. This is the point. Anybody would ask you, or if you're wondering to yourself, why is it that every single mind in the continuum of a sentient being, except, you know, with the exception of the wisdom directly perceiving emptiness, are necessarily mistaken? The answer is that because all other consciousnesses in the continuum of sentient beings, with the exception of the wisdom directly perceiving emptiness, all other consciousnesses are necessarily pervaded by an appearance of true existence, isn't it? And it is for this reason that according to the Middle Way Consequence School, there is a common locus between a mistaken consciousness and a valid cognizer. So why have I brought into the discussion of so many different things, you know? Because it's to show you that, you know, in order really to understand, you know, the Buddhist teachings, you know, and such as, you know, even just, you know, this teaching on the paths and grounds, you know, you must know many things, yeah. You know, because everything is interconnected. Because if you want to say, you know, wisdom realizing emptiness, and what kind of wisdom, direct wisdom, you know, or conceptual and so forth. You know. So in order to understand this, then you really have to understand the presentation of mind and awarenesses, the different kinds of minds, and conceptual, non-conceptual, direct perceivers, you know, and what have you. And then you also have to understand, you know, the assertions of the tenets, yeah. So everything is connected, you know. So it's not as if that we, you know, it is, we don't have to look at other things, you know. Everything you have, if you really want to know and learn, then, you know, we have to look at all these topics, yeah. So when the Bodhisattva generates, you know, the wisdom directly perceiving emptiness, that wisdom directly perceiving emptiness becomes an actual antidote to the afflictions. Yeah, this wisdom directly perceiving emptiness is a very powerful mind, and therefore it can act as a direct antidote to the afflictions. Yeah. So, and when the Bodhisattva newly realizes emptiness directly for the first time, he enters the minor path, isn't it? Of seeing, isn't it? And when he enters the minor path of seeing, you know, that the mind, that very mind realizing emptiness directly, you know, is called the uninterrupted path in general, but specifically is the uninterrupted path of the minor path of seeing. So the uninterrupted path, the minor path of seeing, is the wisdom, the mind directly perceiving emptiness. So the uninterrupted path of the minor path of seeing is the direct antidote to the obscurations, isn't it? We say it's a direct antidote to the obscurations. It's a direct antidote to the obscurations, it's a direct antidote to the afflictions. No? But you were to ask, no? I mean, it was one thing to say that, but it is a direct antidote to what affliction or what obscuration, isn't it? You have to, you know, it's not sufficient just to say that, you know, direct antidote to the afflictions, yeah, to what, you know. So so when we talk about obscurations, it's either an afflictive obscuration or a knowledge obscuration, isn't it? So the uninterrupted path for the mind, the path of seeing, is a direct antidote to which obscuration then?
어떻게도 가나? 다 문제도 시대니게 나네. 다 시대 경험이 지도기야 말해. 시대 경험이 지야. 시대 반 고추가 살자반 신의 고추가 시. 정말 시대 자원이네 봉투기야 말해. 시대 봉 고관 좀 그야 말해. 다 다 시대 나쁜 창서 매발해. 봉투기야 말해. 다 가르쳐서 좋다. 민족 보안이 말이야. 민족 차.
So the uninterrupted path of the mind, the path of seeing, is an actual antidote. Is the actual antidote to which obscuration? Is it the afflictive obscuration or knowledge obscurations? The uninterrupted path of the mind, the path of seeing, cannot act as the antidote, the direct antidote to the knowledge obscurations. Yeah. The knowledge obscuration, the abandonment of the knowledge obscurations. This is more accurate. I mean, people are people. You know, a lot of you have been so imprinted with the word what is called obstructions to omniscience, right? Meaning wise it's clearer, but you know, technically not so clear. So you have to switch a bit, okay? Knowledge obscuration, yeah. Shidrup. So the uninterrupted power of the mind, power of seeing, cannot act as the direct antidote to the knowledge obscurations. You know, the abandonment of the knowledge obscurations starts only from the eighth bhumi or the eighth ground. Yeah. So at this point in time, the uninterrupted power of the mind, power of seeing, has no chance whatsoever of even smelling the knowledge obscurations. Okay. Okay. So there's no hope at this point in time. But the uninterrupted path of the mind, path of seeing, therefore, can only act as a direct antidote to the afflictive obscurations. So, the uninterrupted path of the mind and path of seeing is a direct antidote to the afflictive obscurations, right? But if you want to pursue this in more detail, so essentially we are saying that the uninterrupted path of the mind and path of seeing is a direct antidote to the afflictions, isn't it? Afflictions. You know, some people like delusions, afflictive emotions, destructive emotions. Anything like you happy, you choose. Okay, one of these things. Is the direct antidote to the afflictions. But the afflictions themselves, before even going into detail, the afflictions can be divided into innate afflictions, and intellectually acquired afflictions. So the uninterrupted path of the mind, the path of seeing, is the direct antidote to which of these two?
That is some time to go. That thinking la, that you want thinking la. When you cheat to your money, that China Kundas. That Kunda, you want to change.
So the uninterrupted path of the mind, the path of seeing, cannot, the uninterrupted path of the Mahayana path of seeing, cannot act as the direct antidote to the innate afflictions. It acts as the direct antidote to the intellectually acquired afflictions. So if you pursue in further detail, you realize that the uninterrupted path of the minor path of seeing is the direct antidote to the intellectually acquired afflictions, isn't it? And not the innate afflictions, isn't it? But then, But it's not sufficient, isn't it? I mean, it's just blah, blah, isn't it? But what exactly is an intellectually acquired affliction? What is an innate affliction? So, you know, it requires a lot of, I mean, really knowing the stuff in order to even learn or practice, isn't it? So, but my point of bringing all this up is this. If you did study, if you did look at your materials, if you did study, you know, in the previous modules, like tennis, you know, not just being physically present, but you know, but if you actually, of course, that is the meaning. Ken Rinpoche did not like specifically say it in, but that's the meaning. So I'm just clarifying the meaning. So if you did study and learn tenets, then this wouldn't be complicated. You wouldn't be confused by what I'm saying now, because we talked about this already. What is innate affliction, intellectually acquired afflictions, and what is afflictive obscuration, what is knowledge obscuration? We covered all this already. Everything is built up. My point is trying to show it's all interconnected. So if you didn't learn it, if you didn't learn it, if it's not inside you now, then you look at this again, then it becomes difficult. Then difficulty upon difficulty, in one way, if you look at the chart, it's quite, simple. I know, if you want to look at it simply, power of accumulation, power of vibration, power of seeing, all like that, oh, here, this, that, finish, Right, maybe you can smoke, Smoke means, you can just do a general presentation, and then people, But, when somebody were to ask, okay, but what is this? What is that? What is this? What is that? And then it becomes a bit, So, if somebody asks you in detail, then you're not able to answer, isn't it? Why this? Why not this? Why here? Why there? What is the reason? So the whole point, you should be able to. When somebody, the whole point of learning is to make these things clean, clear, crystal clear in your mind. So the path is very clear, is it? You're not confused, isn't it? Right? Without any contradictions between the form and the letter, and without mixing things up, So it becomes very clear. Yeah. So that's the whole point of learning, isn't it? Right? So, the whole point of studying, first is to make things clear in your mind. That's the point, right? To make things clear in your mind. So if you really want to know things clearly, Now, of course, if you choose to be hazy, if you choose to have a high PSI reading, it's up to you, But if you want a low PSI reading, if you want to have a clear picture, then you have to learn. So the only way to be clear is to learn. Education is learning. Yeah, I don't see any other way. What other options? What other methods are there? Of course, I understand that learning. Of course, learning is challenging, not easy. Yeah, it requires time, effort, and it's difficult at times. But what other alternative is
there?
So therefore, I would like to, just to encourage to continue as much as possible to learn by seeing the point, right? The necessity of learning, of course, in accordance with your own time and your own intelligence. And we will finish the rest of this chart in the next lesson.
You're happy? Or?
After this, we will look at the heart of the perfection of Wisdom Sutra. Yeah?
When you reach Vimana path of seeing directly, that state is 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, irreversible all the time. You cannot fall back again. Is that when you really realize emptiness, the path of seeing directly, your innate wisdom? Is that is that what actually happens to somebody who really direct sees and does a part of seeing?
Is your question, can this wisdom be lost?
Yes, or reversible.
Or do you remain in this state forever?
Yes.
Which is the question?
The question is, first, can this state be reversed? And after you enter the state of path of seeing, you do stay in this state forever after that?
Not question of precedent.
Sure, I'm more interested to find out when you're part of seeing, do you stay in this state all the time? Yeah, that's my
interest. In the meditative equipoise.
Even you get out of the meditative equipoise, you back to your ordinary life.
Uh-huh.
Do you stay in this state all the time? That's my question.
So that means the person doesn't get enlightened, yeah? You mean that? You stay forever, they're never getting enlightened. You're saying that, is it? You are saying that indirectly, you are saying person is stay there forever, never getting enlightened, never improvement. You saying that?
No. What I'm saying is, does this state of path of seeing only last as long as like you stay in the meditative equipoise, but you come back to your ordinary life, you will not be able to keep it?
So once an individual becomes an Arya Bodhisattva, it is impossible for that person to become an ordinary being again, and he or she will not lose that realization. That means it will not degenerate. The realization is there; it's not lost. So when the Bodhisattva achieves the minor path of seeing, the Bodhisattva is definitely 100% sure to achieve enlightenment. It's a matter of time, definitely. And this will come later, but the first bhumi is called the extremely joyful. The first bhumi, the first bodhisattva ground is called extremely joyful. Because the bodhisattva has such great joy, because finally, he sees, he's so sure he sees his own enlightenment. That is definite.
That
So, for that reason, you could say for sure that such an ayah bodhisattva will never degenerate into a worldly being again, and it's impossible for him to lose the realization of emptiness.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is stated very, very clearly by Chandrakirti in his auto commentary to his own text called Engaging in the Middle Way. But of course, such a bodhisattva, when the bodhisattva enters the minor path of seeing, he enters through the uninterrupted path of the minor path of seeing, isn't it? Which is a state of meditative repose, focusing directly on emptiness. But it's not that the bodhisattva remains, you know, in the meditative repose, you know, directly perceiving emptiness forever. He still has to get up and enter into what we call the post-meditative equipoise. And in post-meditative equipoise, the bodhisattva strives and works very hard in order to accumulate merit. So this will come later, the details here. Yeah. Okie dokie. Finish off with the usual prayers. So ji bu ge ji ji me do jam ri ra li jin ni de ge ma so ye shin do du gu nam da shin la che ba shu yi dang gu ru ra na man da ni ya ta ya mi ge wa di ni du da la ma sang ge ru wa ji ga jang ji